This episode is sponsored by SpotX, the leading video advertising and monetization platform shaping digital video and the future of TV globally. SpotX's best-in-class video advertising technology is helping media owners to monetize content while connecting advertisers to premium inventory.
Hey there, you're listening to Social Distancing with Friends, which, till now, has been an AdExchanger Talks series. In a few weeks, though, social distancing will be distancing just a little more with its very own feed within the AdExchanger audio network. Be on the lookout for it, and don't forget to subscribe so we can keep the conversation going. This is Allison Schiff, one of the editors with AdExchanger, reporting from my apartment, obviously. Before we kick off this episode, I'll just take a sec to give a shout-out about Programmatic I/O Innovation Labs, coming up on May 18th through May 21st. This is a free virtual conference designed to give you the education you need now to come back stronger. Register today on the events page of adexchanger.com. Space is limited. All right, and back to the show. Today we have Matt Kilmartin on the podcast, CEO and co-founder of data startup Habu. Matt, welcome.
Thanks, Allison. Good to be speaking with you again.
So where are you sitting right now? I'm in Astoria, Queens, sitting at my kitchen table. It is a bucolic, beautiful May day with birds chirping. It's sunny. And that is how I experience nature these days, outside the window.
Very nice. I'm in a, I guess, similar environment where I have the birds chirping. I actually live in the suburbs of Boston, about 20 miles west of the city. And I'm have a makeshift table and an uncomfortable chair sitting in our guest room.
Yeah, I'm not an ergonomic worker. I mean, I happen to be sitting at a table now, but I'm usually like half supine on a sofa, and I'm a little worried about my posture at the end of all of this.
I've actually become sore from staring at the Zoom screen too long, and I have bad posture as well. My wife's pretty resolved to buy a new desk and a better chair, but I'm hoping this isn't going to last forever, and I'd rather save the money and not buy the new temporary furniture. And hoping to get back to the office soon.
Is that called Zoom neck or something like that, a new condition?
Well, I call it Zoom fatigue. It's actually a very real thing. There's an article in the Wall Street Journal a couple weeks ago around Zoom fatigue. And I've reverted back to old school, just telephone meetings when I can do them. And I've also started to embrace the walking meeting. I live near a bunch of woods, and so I can take my phone and go walk in the woods and no one's around me, and I can do walking meetings, which is a good way to stay fit and sane at the same time during these times.
So we're going to talk in a little bit about some of the initiatives that Habu is launching to help out both, you know, donations to you know, different charities related to COVID-19, and also some stuff that you're doing to help your own employees that has a lot to do with fitness. But before that, for people who might not be familiar, give us a little bit of the Habu background spiel. You're part of an incubator started by Crux founder Tom Chavez, and you know, you started at Crux and spent time at Salesforce. So yeah, introduce yourself.
Yeah, I feel like, Allison, when we launched in the middle of February, AdExchanger and you personally did a good job covering us. So I might point them back to your article, but I am one of the founders and CEO of Habu. I joined Habu at the end of last year. Habu had actually been incubated. When I say incubated, a lot of the back end sort of technical work had been being built inside of a venture studio called Superset, which was started by Tom Chavez and Vivek Vaidya. Tom and Vivek actually started five companies last year. And interestingly enough, they didn't think they wanted to do a marketing technology company. And when I sort of reconnected with them at the end of last year and learned what they were doing, I had actually been thinking about starting my own company. But then it kind of quickly became a no-brainer that I should not do my own thing completely, joining up with them and sort of combining my ideas and efforts with their expertise and capital made a lot more sense. And I think the reason why is because just as a first-time founder and CEO, to have access to capital and world-class engineering talent and have sort of a mentor and proven CEO, Tom, who's Tom's the chairman of the board. He's the executive chairman of Habu. I thought just would set me and the company up for greater success. So that's why I joined up with Habu. So yeah, so Habu is, you could think of us almost as a next generation data and analytics software built for brands, both marketers and also for publishers, to help them address a lot of their data and analytics needs, which are quite frankly, a lot of the data and analytics needs they've had for a long time. But these needs are unmet by existing solutions in the marketplace. And they're really unmet due to just the tectonic shifts that we're all experiencing. We all know them, the browser changes, the privacy regulation, the media consolidation, the walled gardens. There's just so much change happening in our industry right now that we at Habu believe that it requires a fundamentally new approach and new types of technology built for the 2020s and beyond. And so that's what we're all about.
So you're not a CDP and you're not a DMP. So for someone like me, who's just desperate to categorize companies for my own just sanity, what existing category can I jam you into for now?
Oh boy. This is such a timely topic. We actually had a meeting last week with one of the leading strategy consulting companies, and they have a marketing and they also have an advertising practice as well. So both ad tech and martech. And they asked us this exact same question, and we tried to answer it. And I think they kept asking three different times, and we tried to answer it in different ways, and they still couldn't put us in a bucket. And it's not that we're not trying to be in a bucket. It's just the problem with these buckets is they take on their own definitions, right? And so, you know, if you just take CDP, for example, there's actually three distinct buckets inside of the CDP category, right? And you know, what Segment and mParticle does is different than what mParity does and is what different than ActionIQ does, right? And so, and similarly on the DMP side, the DMP has come to mean something. So I'm not going to let you put us in a bucket. Obviously, we aspire to create our own bucket. But what I would say is, there are definitely some buckets in the advertising and sort of marketing technology landscape which have diminishing value and are sort of on the path to irrelevance. And so what I would say is companies, it's not that you don't need one of those tools, but maybe you don't need one of those tools, or maybe you just need one aspect of that tool. And so that's when and you know, we're still closing new deals right now, and we're getting new customers, and the budget is typically coming from cost savings with regards to other software licenses that they just don't need anymore, or they have less utility, and they're able to reduce money from there and allocate it over towards Habu.
Well, tell me a little bit about Habu's first couple of months of life, you know, out there in the open, because you launched in mid-February. It's pretty much 2 weeks before the lockdowns started.
Yep.
So what was that like?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. So I'm super fortunate, just through Superset and through Ridge Ventures, who's also an investor in Habu, and just have such a great network of mentors to tap into. And I attended a webinar last week with the CEO of Masterclass, who basically said, and he's a first-time founder CEO himself of Masterclass. And Masterclass, if you guys aren't familiar with it, go check it out. It's amazing content and such a great investment right now as we're all sort of social isolation. Mm-hmm. But basically, the CEO of Masterclass said, as the CEO, your job changes every few months, except no one tells you it's changing. And I reflected on that, and I thought, like, wow, how true is that? And I reflect on my 6 months at Habu, and I kind of think I've had three different jobs, right? So the first 2 months when I came in early November, we were trying to figure out what do we call ourselves? We had some theories on the problems, and we obviously had some sort of back-end infrastructure built, but it was really around forming and storming and brainstorming and meeting with customers and getting feedback and trying to sort of hone in on what we are, right? And then there was the launch, right? And you know, you're never ready to launch. You don't know if you have it right. You know, you try to say the right things, and be relevant to the market, but you just don't know. But it's a good forcing function. And our launch, you know, there was sort of the week up to the launch, and then the launch, and then sort of following the launch. Our launch was really successful, beyond my wildest dreams, to be honest with you. We had just such a flood of brands that wanted to meet with us. Household brands that we all use every day, from the leading financial services companies to leading entertainment companies to leading CPG companies to retailers, right? And it was to the point where it was just a lot of people wanting to meet with us. And I said to the sales team, like, we never had this at Crux. Like, Crux was a really successful company, and we had a good exit, and we at Salesforce we doubled revenue and whatnot. So, like, for all sense, Crux was a success, but we never experienced sort of what we experienced at like Habu did after our launch, right? And then I guess it was probably 2 or 2.5, 3 weeks later, sort of all this COVID hit, right? Mm-hmm. And so that was phase three. So phase one was, what are we? Phase two was launch and trying to harness all the positive vibes and big companies that wanted to talk to us. And then the third has been like, okay, how do I manage through this? And, you know, what's going to happen, right? And I feel like there's a whole that we could probably fill a whole podcast on learnings during this time. But yeah, I feel like I've had three different jobs, and I feel like right now we're starting to find our footing and our voice a bit more, and feeling to sort of to come out a bit more. But there was definitely a period, I'd say, where we pulled in, and quite frankly, I was struggling a little bit to try to think about, you know, should we be marketing? Should we be reaching out to people still? You know, what should we be focusing on? But I feel like we have a lot of clarity on that now. And so things, I'd say, are starting to pick back up from a customer standpoint.
Still though, I mean, to have your phase three be a global pandemic is unique. So, you know, with that in mind, what have you noticed? Maybe expand a little bit on like how marketers are investing or not investing in technology right now. I mean, it's really important to have a data-driven strategy, maybe more than ever, but I'd imagine now is also an opportunity for brands to trim out middlemen as cost-saving measures. Maybe it's more difficult to get a foot in the door. Maybe it all depends. So what have you noticed about tech investment?
Yeah. So I think the first thing, and I think you hit the spot on when you said global pandemic, there's no playbook for what we're going through. One of my friends and neighbors, he owns 30 Dunkin' Donuts, and that was his quote to me: there's no playbook for what we're going through right now, right? And so I think what I've noticed is our engagement with people is less around trying to sell them what we have and more trying to understand what's going on in their business and can we help, right? And I know that might sound a little cliche, but I feel like sort of I've hand selected a really great team of all-stars here. And I think for early stage company building, sort of the character of people and the mindset of the team is everything. And so there is a real authenticity in terms of our engagement with brands, in terms of what's going on with their businesses right now. How are they thinking about their technology stack? Are they cutting people off? I mean, some of the harder hit industries have had to furlough their entire marketing departments, right? In the travel industry, for example, right? And so I think it's just being like sensitive to what people are going through, authentic in your conversations, and being genuine if there's value we can add there or not, right? And you know, the thing that was tricky too, Allison, is you can't, like, when you're cold, you can't cold outreach to people and do that, right? And so, you know, you have to do it with people that you either have relationships with or maybe has already reached out to us and whatnot. And so there's definitely some people, I'd say, who, and not in an irritated way, they just said, hey, can't engage right now, things are crazy, right? And that's not even like engaging on, like, you know, do we want to cut out middlemen from our MarTech stack? It's like, no, we're taking the alcohol that's made to make our beer and we're changing it to hand sanitizer, and we're totally dark on advertising, and I'm trying to figure out how do I not have to furlough employees, right? And so that's like survival stuff, right? And so, but as we've engaged in substantive conversation, and this is the optimist in me, I actually think our products and offerings are more relevant in this environment. And the reason I say that is because, and I'll give you two like very specific examples. One is companies are looking to cut costs, right? And we're working with a financial services company right now. They're not a customer yet, but they're basically assessing their entire marketing technology stack. And they think there's about $2.5 million worth of savings in software licenses of marketing technology software that they have, don't need, don't use, don't need to renew. And by potentially licensing some of Habu's functionality, they could cut some of those expenses, right? And so like that's real ROI, right? And then the other one I would say just from an ROI perspective is just the, with advertising budgets being slashed so much, there's a real need for data to measure sort of the efficiency and effectiveness of it, right? And the other thing too, which has been fascinating to me, is just that some of the people's like their advertising strategies are changing too, right? In terms of like, how do they engage with consumers? How do they advertise? How do they measure? How do they think about data? So there's been some interesting projects that we're doing with some customers around that front as well. So long-winded answer of saying, I actually think in these kind of times where people need to get more from dollars they spend or save money, that actually Habu's solutions are more relevant.
What about being in growth mode? Because I think of startups and I think of hiring and full tilt ahead. So yeah. What's the headcount by you guys? Are you hiring right now? And what's the plan?
So absolutely still in growth mode. We are hiring, but slowly and for like very sort of discrete roles, right? And so, you know, we did what a lot of companies did. We definitely paused hiring, right? Like we were going to hire a ton. So we paused it and we said, let's wait and see and we'll stagger hiring, right? And we did reduce some expenses just around contractors and consultants and obviously reduced all of our travel expenses. And so we definitely did all those things just to preserve cash. And I'll tell you, I have a great co-founder and COO, Mike Moreau, who's really does a great job sort of managing all this stuff. And I was actually surprised when we actually put the numbers to it, just how much savings we actually had, right? And so we're absolutely still in growth mode, but this definitely forced us to be a lot more deliberate on when we spent money. And, you know, we're actually going to start engaging a little bit more broadly in terms of our message and our products and whatnot. And I'd say we're way more sort of ROI focused right now. So still growing, still hiring, just slowly and with sort of a very discerning eye.
But you are carving out some money for some pretty nice initiatives, right? So tell me about Habu Helps and the donations that you're matching.
Yeah, so that was like week one. We had two members of our team. And by the way, these aren't all my ideas. I have such a great team who comes up with this stuff. And that was actually one of the greatest pieces of advice I got from someone, was just like, ask for help, right? And so I sort of asked the team for help. And this was an idea that the two people came forward with, like, hey, we all want to help our communities. We all want to help nonprofits. Yeah, we all do donations. But like, how can Habu do something bigger together? And, you know, obviously companies do matching funds and companies make donations, but we thought, like, you know, people have different causes they support, and wouldn't it be cool to actually give people money to donate? So what we did is we branded this initiative called Habu Helps, and we gave every employee $1,000, and we said, you can donate it to whoever you want, whatever charity you want. Because so many nonprofits are hurt during this time. It's not just the food banks and the people doing research on COVID. Even nonprofits that you sort of wouldn't think of are really hurting sort of during these times. So we basically let people give $1,000 to whatever nonprofit of their choice. And what we said is, if you want to give even more money on top of that, we'll match it. It was about 20 people did it, and I think we donated just shy of $50,000 or something like that. I think it was a pretty good impact for kind of a small team. And we have it on our website too. If you want to check it out, it's I think it's under Habu Helps. And we listed all the nonprofits that received funds from the Habu team. And we thought it'd be cool because everyone can sort of give to something in their community. So has just taken on a little bit of a life of its own internally. We've launched some initiatives just around sort of Habu Helps and how does Habu help employees, basically. So,
well, let's talk about the Fitbit thing. You bought everybody a Fitbit, which, my God, do I need? And you're holding a month-long Get Fit Challenge, right?
Yes, yes. So the whole fitness thing started with one of our customers, ASICS, actually. So ASICS actually has an app called Runkeeper, and then ASICS obviously has their sneakers and all their apparel and whatnot. And so we were doing these Habu Helps weekly trivia things and giving out prizes, and we were featuring customers. So we gave out all these gift certificates for ASICS apparel and gear to the top three people. And then woman on my team, they basically said, "Let's do this Fitbit challenge thing. Fitbit makes it so easy. They have a portal. The app's slick. You can create teams. It's a leaderboard." And let's do sort of a Habu Helps each other get fit and stay connected. And so we bought everyone a Fitbit. They're not that expensive. We went with the cheapest model. So there's 24 people as part of the competition. So we have four teams of six, and it is intense. We're 10 days into the challenge, and we've logged enough miles to walk from Bar Harbor, Maine to Key West, Florida, just in 10 days. And so that walking meeting I was referring to, I think I look like Forrest Gump in my town because I walked 17 miles the other day, just doing walking meetings. But I'm in, like, out of 24 people, I think I'm in eighth place. Like, there are some people just killing it. And so, yeah, it's been fun. And it's a great way for people to get outside, get some sunlight and exercise as well.
I mean, the distance between my sofa and my kitchen table isn't really enough to tip any scales. So I'm inspired.
Yeah. Well, Allison, I got to tell you that the day I walked that far was, I think I had done 2,000 steps, which is kind of a guest room to a sofa to a kitchen loop.
So to bring us home, and when you're sore from 17 miles and sitting on the sofa again, what's your guilty pleasure Netflix show? Basically what you turn on when you need a distraction and your dogs are barking.
Oh, yeah. I don't have any dogs, but I do have four kids, but we're getting a puppy.
I meant your feet.
I thought you meant real dogs barking. I started watching that Tiger King show. I kind of flip around between a lot of stuff. I actually really like the documentaries ESPN puts out, the 30 for 30 series. It's an amazing sort of stories there behind the scenes on the sports side, and that new Michael Jordan show I started watching. So I kind of flip around. I think I'm too ADD to sit in front of a TV for that long, but those are some of the types of shows I've been enjoying.
That will serve you well, that level of ADD. I do not have it. I can spend a lot of time watching Netflix.
I hear you. Well, there's definitely some good shows out there. But you know, I will tell you, I am missing the live sports. That's for sure. I'm a Celtics season ticket holder, and having no live sports on TV is definitely, I'm feeling like I'm exhausting the movie lists.
May sports come back and may the world reopen.
SpotX is the leading video advertising and monetization platform shaping digital video and the future of TV globally. Their solutions enable media owners to monetize content across all screens and streams while providing advertisers with direct access to brand-safe premium inventory. Learn more about how SpotX can help you achieve your video and advertising goals at spotx.tv.